Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let us try to finish what we have started. You know, there is really no finish. We can just go on and on. And I remember the day that I discovered that everything in the Word fits so perfectly. And it just amazed me so that such a perfect weaving of everything that fits together. And when you have people that tamper with the Word of God and change the things and change the meaning, it doesn't fit. Amen. And this is the thing, I won't get into it today, but this is the thing that bothered me so much about the church pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. I began to say it does not fit with everything else that God is saying. There's something wrong with it. Amen. And then I began to discover what was wrong with it and what was right. Amen.
Amen.
But let us go back to let's say that, did we finish with the ninth things in the ninth chapter of Hebrews? I think we did. And I think we read verse 24 that says, Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, as you study your Bible and you go through the rest from here on, the rest of the ninth chapter is only a couple verses. And you find the word once. Now, I don't know what your Sabana word in your Bible is for once. Does it say one time or? What is your Sabana word for once? One time, once.
One time.
And that means? Okay, so it is throughout from here on. Now, the next, the 26th verse. But now once. Amen. Just that phrase, but now once in verse 26. Yeah. And verse 27. Let's see. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered. Yeah. And then when we get into the 10th chapter, we come over to verse 10. And it talks about the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Sa
Verse 12, it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And again in verse 14, but for by one offering he is perfected forever them that are sanctified. So you see how the Word of God establishes the truth that there is only one sacrifice and it cannot and will not be repeated. In fact, the Lord is so strong in that even down in verse 26, he says, and if you willfully sin after you have received this sacrifice, there is not another sacrifice to deliver you from sin. Amen. So I just want you to see once, and when the church began to come up with this doctrine that this false priesthood could offer another sacrifice and say it is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, it is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. And this is not a true priesthood. Okay, now let's start in verse 19 of chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. To enter into where? The holiest. What place is that? Is that here? Is that here? Is that here? Here. The holiest place. Okay. So the Word of God here in Hebrews says that the purpose of God is to bring us into this place. Now, how many of you are living every day in this place? No. Not me either. So I should ask you, maybe, where are you living? If you're in the house of God, you're in somewhere in here. Amen. So, have you come to this place? Yes? This is where the blood is shed. And at first it was the blood of bulls and animals. Amen. So, but we came to a better covenant. And we have come to enter by the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you've come only this far, you are still children. And everybody has to start somewhere. One time we were children. But God wants us to go further than that. Now, there are probably churches that preach only here. Gospel of salvation, gospel of salvation, gospel of salvation. Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. Amen. Love everybody. Now, by the way, that is true. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's where I'm going to build my church, I'm in the outer court. Amen. Sometimes I tell people that we're going to a foreign place for missionary work, and they say, "Are you going to preach and get people saved?" Well, yes, if there's people here that are not saved, you need to get saved. Amen. But I'm going to preach the gospel, not just the gospel of salvation, not just the gospel of baptism, but the gospel of the kingdom of God. So what happens here at the laver? What is in the laver? Water. Amen. And if I have come to born again and baptized in water, amen. I will still go to heaven if I die. But if I live my life here, I am still in the outer court. And as long as I am here, there is no way I can come boldly to the throne of grace here. So I am now baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My experience was different than Brother Bert. I didn't wait 7 days. I went to the summer camp and I told the brother, I said, "Lay hands on me and I'll receive the Holy Spirit." He said, Did you read the book I sent you? I said, "No. I know what the Bible says. Just lay hands on me and I will have the baptism." And he and another brother did, and like Bert, I just exploded. I spoke in tongues, and I kept going, and I thought, I wonder if I can stop. And I stopped. I said, I wonder if it can start again. I opened my mouth and it started again. So I said, it can start, it can stop, it can keep going. I can go to bed and sleep, I can wake up again and it comes again. But I was still in the outer court. And there was still a lot of sin and carnality in my soul. Still some serious things that I needed to repent of. Amen. And I believe the day came when the Lord opened the door. I was able to, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So one day my eyes were open, I was able to see the kingdom of God. And when you are born of the Spirit and born of the water, now you have the ability to enter into the kingdom of God. So I believe that I have entered into something more in the holy place. But I do not live in the Holy of Holies. Now I believe that I have had a vision into the Holy of Holies. And I believe that I actually stepped in there. I believe that I had one foot in here and one foot out here. And it lasted for maybe 2 weeks, maybe a little more, I don't know. I believe that I was here and I was here. I know that I met Jesus Christ face to face. It wasn't one of those happy, love you son things. He was very upset by some things. But I began to see and hear things in the Spirit that I cannot see and hear when I am in my mortal body. This happened when I came to the place where I might have died. Amen.
Amen.
And I mean death not in the soul, but death in my body. Amen.
Amen.
But that was 12, almost 13 years ago. So you see, I am still alive. Amen? Okay. Now, I liked my experience in here. And when I came out, I said, I liked the spiritual gifting that I had and the revelation that I had while I was there. But I'm not sure I want to go through death. To get there. I did not enjoy the death process, but I enjoyed the presence of the Lord. And so it was, woe is me. I want to be here, but I'm back here somewhere. Now the Word of God says that we can draw near. Okay, wait a minute. Having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 19. By a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh. Amen. So it's saying here that He has consecrated a way for us through the veil. His flesh. The veil, His flesh. So let me remove my arrow here. The veil. His flesh. Now, during the time of the tabernacle of Moses, the presence of God was in the most holy place. And only one time a year, the Day of Atonement, could the high priest come through the veil and make atonement with blood. And if any man tried to come through this veil any other way, he would immediately die. So, for many years, God had a veil to keep man from coming in. Now, what happened when the flesh of Jesus Christ was rent, torn on the cross? He was crucified. His flesh was pierced. His side. And He died. And when He died, what happened in the Jewish temple? This veil was rent from the top to the bottom. Now, what did the tearing of that veil mean? That now the way is open for man to come in to the Holy of Holies. So by a new and living way, in other words, you're not going to die if you come in. Which he made for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. So now, as far as God is concerned, God's barrier is taken away. God is not blocking us anymore. So why are we not living there? Let me ask you, when Jesus ministered on earth for 3.5 years, where do you think he was? Was his life out here in the outer court? Did he minister as a priest only in this place? No, for 3.5 years he lived, walked, ministered, eat, drink, sleep. He was in here. And he lived and walked with men like me and you. He ate, he drank with them. He was real. Now, you know that if you study the Word of God, part of the covenant that God has made with man, and we don't have time to study it, but the 70th week of Daniel, is only half finished. Because after 3.5 years was the Messiah cut off. But the clock is going to start again. In a time of great tribulation, and the covenant that God has given us is that there will be men and women who will walk as He walked. On this earth. And they will also die. I liked that word until I got to that part. That part about lay their life down. But you know what? I still like it. I want to be part of that Elijah company. Amen. So, I asked the
question again. Jesus walked and lived by example 3.5 years. He could walk on water. When men tried to kill him, he just turned and they couldn't find him. They couldn't kill him. He had miracles. The devil couldn't touch him until he laid his own life down. Even when they came to arrest him in the garden, they didn't come and take him by force. He said to them, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am." And they all fell over. Can you imagine that they would come and tie him up? Just one word, he could knock them all over. Just one word, "I am." The same word he said to Moses, "Who are you?" He said, tell them I am. Amen. I am an amen.
Amen.
Are we saying loud amen?
Amen.
Oh, wow.
Hallelujah.
That was good. Amen. Okay. Now, so to get back to the next question is, if God has removed this veil, why are we not here? Because there's another veil. And that veil is in our mind and in our soul. And Paul said that when Moses is read, he's talking about to his fellow Jews, there is a veil on the mind. But it isn't just the Jews. They had their veil. But I must have my veil too. What was preventing me when God opened that door for 2 weeks for me to be in here? What prevented me from staying there? I could walk, I could eat. There must have been something in my life that I wanted to go back to in my carnal life. I didn't say it was necessarily wicked. It was just my natural life. I wanted to go back to it. I knew that if I died, when I first went into this, I was in the darkness. It was going through my mind, if I die now, my sins are forgiven, my conscience is clear, I will go into the presence of the Lord.
When I laid on that little bed in the hospital, and they thought that I was dead. Not quite, but almost. I knew that if I reached my hand out this way, there would be a door, and if I opened the door, I could go through. We have a veil. Now, I'm going to get you to the point where it's God's purpose, whether we like it or not, that humanity is going to live with Him here. Let's go to a few more verses. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. And the context here is Paul is reviewing what I told you on Monday. He is reviewing how the mountain shook and it was black and it was a sound of a trumpet and it was terrifying and it was awful. And they ran away. But then he begins to tell them, but now there is something better. Now we have a Mount Zion that is not the same as that old mountain. See, Hebrews is all about better things. A higher way. Amen. And so we come down here to verse 22. Here's the better thing. But you are come into Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
Hebrews 2:22. Apan sa mo, nahiabot nga to sa bukit sa Sion, o nga to sa syudad sa buhi ng Diyos, ang langit ng Jerusalem, o ang syudad sa, o ang nga to sa dili maihap na panon sa mga anghel.
And he tells, who is part of this Mount Zion? Church of the Firstborn. God the Judge. Spirits of just men made perfect. Jesus the Mediator. Jesus the High Priest. His blood is part of it. And His blood speaks better things than Abel. What did Abel's blood speak? God said to Cain, your brother's blood is calling to me out of the ground. My life was cut short. Bring
judgment, O God. And there is the blood of the souls under the altar. Also crying, O God, how long? How long till you bring us? But the blood of Jesus does not cry that. The blood of Jesus is crying deliverance. Forgiveness. Okay, so let's see how God is going to deal with all this to bring us to here. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 11. And I believe that as we read Revelation chapter 11, we are in context with things that are happening and going to happen in our generation. Now, I can't prove that it's going to happen in the next 10 years. And I'm not going to say that it is. But even if I did, if I said it's going to happen very, very soon, I would still be right. Because God wants us to believe that.
Amen.
He wants us to believe that it can start tomorrow. And if you start to believe that it's going to be 10 more years, you will live a reckless, careless life.
Right.
And you will miss the day of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So let me read the first two verses of Revelation 11. And there was given me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Now when he says the temple and the altar, he's not talking about this altar. Brazen altar, but he's talking about the golden altar. So he's telling the apostle, who is a man, a human man, that he is to measure this. The holy place, the altar, and them that worship in here. Those that worship in here. In other words, he's saying to John that there is a church of the holy place. If you worship in a place, that's your church. Now, he's making a distinction between two different churches here. Amen?
Amen?
It doesn't matter what sign you put on your church. You can say Church of the Holy Place. You might not be Church of the Holy Place. And if you are Church of the Outer Court, you probably will not put a sign up that says Church of the Outer Court. So you might not know if you were a pastor of this church. You might not know that you are Church of the Outer Court. But God has given you the means to find out. And that is the measuring rod of the apostle. So, if I am bringing you an apostolic message, I am bringing you the means, a measuring rod, that you can measure, and you will know, do you measure up to the apostolic message? So the end time message that God is giving is for a holy place church. If you believe what we are preaching to you and you walk by it, I would say you are a holy place church. But you need to be measured. You need an apostolic message to come and examine you. So, rise and measure. Rise and measure. However, there's another verse. But the court that is without the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months.
Versículo 2. Apanakawanan ka diha kagawa sa templo, laktawi yung ayaw kini pagtukda, sa kini nahatag ng gasto sa mga kristyan, o ang balaan na syudad, pagkatulog-tulogan nila tulog sa kapatan o duha ka bulan.
Okay. The court that is without.
Ang awanan?
Yeah.
Wala ipasukod.
You know, every word is important. I came upon a man who translated a Spanish Bible. And he said it was the best translation. And from that Bible, he wrote an English Bible. And I saw that when he came to Revelation 11, he said, it said, but the court that is within. I said, wait a minute. Did God say the court that is without or the court that is within? Which one is going to be destroyed? No, God said the court that is without. So, if you believe that the book of Revelation is speaking of the last days, the end time, then this is what he's going to do.
Yeah.
No more outer court. No more outer court. Well, we might as well take this too. Now, do you understand, if you want to be a church in the outer court, do you understand what's going to happen in 3.5 years of great tribulation? The Gentiles are the world. The world could include the ISIS. You know who I mean? It might not just be ISIS. Do you know that ISIS is already destroying the Christians? They're already destroying Christians. You hear from the people that are living in Syria. Iraq. It's in the process. I believe the process has already started. It started in the Middle East. The seeds have been sown for the destruction in America. I don't know your political atmosphere, but I believe the seeds have been sown for the destruction of the outer court church in the Philippines and every other place. So we see that God is going to dismantle everything else except this. This is heaven. This is heaven. You know what? If you don't like heaven, you don't have to go there. There are people who are going to choose not to go here because it's too light, it's too bright. Too much holiness. You know, I don't know, I'm not quoting Brother Burt, but I got the, I kind of heard by the Spirit. You know, there was a time in our life out here somebody had to make the rules for us. Don't wear that kind of dress. Don't wear those kind of pants. Don't wear that kind of shirt. Don't fix your hair that way. Don't you know you're calling attention to the flesh? Don't watch those kind of movies. Don't look at those pictures. Don't listen to that kind of music. Do you still like that kind of music? So yes, I could make you a lot of laws and rules. And maybe you would have to obey. But your heart wouldn't want to. And when I'm not looking,
You'd go ahead and do what you want to do anyway. You know, you'd wear nice modest clothes to the meeting today. And at 4 o'clock, you'd be wearing something else. Putting on the shirt with a big hole in here. You know what? You can preach about here, but you're still here. And you know what? One day, when you really get to know the Lord, one day you find out, I have no interest in those kind of things. I have no desire for that kind of music. In fact, when I hear it, it does something bad in me. It doesn't make me angry. It just makes me sad. And sometimes I think, but I used to like that. What happened to me? I wasn't trying to follow some laws and rules, but something changed me.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Mark, you got to be an old man. That's what happened to you. No. No. I know old men of the world, and they're just as rotten and carnal as they ever were when they were young. I know old men of the world that are my age. And any chance for wickedness, they will take the chance. No, it isn't just getting old. It's letting God change you. And you know, you can cooperate with God and you can help the process, or you can fight Him. The point is, do you want to come to His ultimate end goal? Okay. God understands your flesh fights and resists. He knows that. He knows that about you. But you cry out for help and He will help you. If you want deliverance, amen. You know, you do well to never, ever, ever get into the bondages, some of the things that Bert was describing, even worse things that people have gotten into. We got a letter in the email the other day. A young man He's the father. He has a business. But he's hooked. He's hooked on alcohol. He's hooked on a drug. And in his letter, he is crying, "Oh God, I want to be delivered. I've tried this, I've tried that. I can't seem to get free." And I'm going to send him this morning's message. I'm gonna label it the spirit of deliverance.
May that be your label, but
God is ready to deliver you. But you're going to have to pay a price. Let me take you to one more place. Well, maybe a couple more. Revelation, or Matthew. Matthew 24. How much time do I have? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right, give me a few minutes. And it says here in verse, well, let me start with verse 13. This is the chapter of the Great Tribulation. The world is ready for Great Tribulation. The governments, the religious powers, they are all ready to bring it to pass. Verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Not just the gospel of salvation by the blood. Not just the gospel of baptism in water, not just the gospel of baptism in the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, but the gospel of the kingdom that includes the time of preparation for tribulation. "When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." Abomination of desolation, stand. That means it's not just some impersonal thing, some doctrine, some... No, it's a personality, stand in the holy place. Stand. the personality of hell. And so you see, another church is being attacked. Yes. Our belief, our holy place church is also under this attack. It's coming in by the music. It's coming in by the spirit of the music. It's coming in by the leadership. It's coming in by a corrupted priesthood. Brother Bert was describing just a couple of examples this morning of that corruption. It isn't just one man that went bad. It is the whole nest of that leadership. I could give you the history of every one of those big men that have started these mega churches. It is rotten. Some of these big men have gone on television and they have corrupted themselves. Corrupted the people. People are willing to get on buses and go thousands of miles. To partake of demons. So the Lord says, when you see this happen, if you are in Judea, flee to the mountains. We are in verse 16. Flee to the mountains means come up higher. Where is there a higher place than this? There's only one higher place. That is in the Holy of Holies. I don't know how I'm going to be ready to go there. But I know that I'm going to flee, and that's where I'm going to go. I won't have to get on a bus or get on my motorcycle. I will just come into my secret place and close the door. Amen. If I'm on the housetop, don't go back down. Don't go back down into the house. If I've come out of the old house, don't go back in to the old house of religion. You won't find a refuge there. Don't go back to find your old clothes of righteousness and laws and keeping. Amen. So, We'll just summarize it here. If we have to flee, that means it's going to be gone. And there's only one more place to go. And I'm going to finish again, even though I have a lot more I could say. I'm going back to this verse. Revelation 21:22. And I saw no temple therein.
Hallelujah.
That's far enough. I saw no temple. I didn't see anything that had an outer court. I didn't see any holy place. I didn't see a structure that had divisions. Amen.
Amen.
For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. So you see, it's not anything made with hands. It's not made with hands. It's a temple. But it isn't a temple. I didn't see a temple. All I saw was Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. So what this tells me, I don't know where he's projecting this to. Maybe it's beyond 1,000 years. But let's say these things are going to be done away with. How many of you know we're coming to a place and a land and a kingdom where there is no death?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. God is going to have a universe in which there is no death. If there is no death, there's no need for burial. And resurrection, we will have partaken of the resurrection of the Lamb. Blessed is he that is not, how does it say here, that is not, verse 6, blessed is and holy is he that has part of the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 6 of chapter 20. Verse 6 of chapter
20.
So you will take part in the first death, which is the natural death. But the second death, which goes to hell? No. Because you have been part of the first resurrection. If you really want to be part of the kingdom, this is where we're going. If he is the temple and you are living stones, you are going to be in Christ, you are going to be like him. I tell the difference.
Amen.
Amen.